Are you an entrepreneur that would like to quickly free up and create more cash flow and lasting wealth? Welcome to the Chris Miles Money Show. Chris Miles is a cash flow expert and the financial advocate for the entrepreneur. Chris will teach you how to create more freedom and more prosperity right now, not about saving 25 to 40 years from now. It's all about creating wealth and prosperity today. He's been featured on U.S. News, CNN Money, Bankrate.com, interviewed internationally on TV and radio, and has a high reputation for getting his clients fast, life-altering financial results with his company, Money Ripples. Learn more at MoneyRipples.com. Now, here's your host, Chris Miles.
Hello, my fellow Ripplers. This is Chris Miles, cash flow expert and anti-financial advisor. Welcome you out again today. Hey, this show is about you guys, those of you that work your guts out sometimes and you work so hard and you want your money working harder for you so you don't have to work so hard for money. And that's what we're about here, about creating that passive income and cash flow today. You know, on today's show, I want to bring on a special guest here, Paul Moore. Now, Paul, one thing that's amazing about him is that, I mean, he graduated with an engineering degree and had an MBA from Ohio State. But he started on this management track at Ford Motor Company in Detroit. But you know, after 5 years, he left that, started a staffing company with a partner, which they sold it to a publicly traded firm for $2.9 million just 5 years later. Now, along the way, Paul was a finalist for the Ernst & Young Michigan Entrepreneur of the Year 2 years straight. And then Paul later entered the real estate sector, where he completed 85 real estate investments and exits, appeared on HGTV's special real estate episode, rehabbed and managed dozens of rental properties, developed a waterfront subdivision, and then started two successful online real estate marketing firms. Three successful developments, including assisting in developing of a Hyatt Hotel and a multifamily housing project, led him into the multifamily investing arena. He's also co-host of his podcast, which is How to Lose Money, and is a writer for Bigger Pockets. Paul is the author of The Perfect Investment, Creating Enduring Wealth from the Historic Shift to Multifamily Housing book. And grateful to have you on, Paul. Welcome to our show.
Oh, it's great to be on, Chris. Thank you so much. I love your show, and I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, you know, I love some of the topics that we have today, because today I really want to talk about, from your angle, like how the real ultra wealthy attain wealth, and especially how people can start partnering with the IRS. I'm so thrilled to be able to talk to you about some of this.
Who would want to do something like that? Ah.
Hey, if it means I pay less, I don't care. And I'm sure most of my listeners are in tax brackets like myself, which are not low tax brackets. So we're all about tax savings too.
Fantastic.
Beyond like your bio here, like tell us more about you. Like, what got you to do this?
Yeah, you know, I made so many mistakes over the years. I mean, like I said, I've got a podcast called How to Lose Money. And I used to confuse investing and speculating. I thought I was investing for years. I would tell people I'm an investor. I was actually speculating.
You're a gambler.
You know, gambling. I think that investing is when your principal is generally safe and you've got a chance to make a profit. And speculating is when your principal is not at all safe and you've got a chance to make a profit. And I made a lot of profit doing that, but I made a lot of huge mistakes and lost a whole lot of money. And I didn't want to do it anymore. So I was looking for something I could do, which, by the way, is Class B value add multifamily and now storage units. And I don't want to do any more ground up development. I'm in my 50s. I've lost enough money. I don't want to look my family and myself and my investors in the eye and say sorry for 10 years, you know? So I wanted to do something that was a lot safer. And that's how I got started in this, in the last several years.
Yeah. I mean, one thing that's cool is a lot of our listeners are entrepreneurs, but there's also a lot of them that are either doing real estate or interested in doing real estate too. And so, you know, what's been your experience? Like, what did you do specifically that got you to be taken from that gambler to that investor, or speculator to that investor category?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of stuff I'm skipping over here, but around 2010, a lot of people started hearing about the Bakken oil boom in North Dakota. And I had a petroleum engineering background before I got my MBA, and I'd never used it. And I always wanted to. So I thought, hey, you know, real estate's really down right now. And I was kind of depressed with real estate, and I think I'll go invest in an oil well. And it was a little more thoughtful than that. But we did. A bunch of us jumped in on this well, and we actually lost our money. And, but at the same time, and that's talking about a speculation, right?
Yeah.
But what great tax benefits it was as we lost all that money. but seriously, folks, I realized, and my partner who had a small jet would fly there, and he couldn't ever find a place to stay in North Dakota. And there were trucks parked all along the side of the road and the rest stops, et cetera. And so we said, hey, we're both involved in real estate development. Why don't we build a man camp or a quasi hotel, quasi multifamily in to serve this oil region here? And we did. We were actually charging 13 times the going rate in the heartland of America, which is roughly $1 a square foot for rental real estate. You know, $800 apartment might be 800 square feet. We were charging $4,000 a month for a 300 square foot, very nicely furnished apartment. And we were, full. And so that was a ground up speculation that went really, really well. Now, oil prices dropped from the 90s to the 30s. And we had just sold that for a really nice profit. We took that money, and we were already way underway at this point, by the way, when oil prices dropped, to build a beautiful Hyatt Hotel, also in oil country. And it was dependent on the oil revenues and the oil people, being there to drill wells and all that. And that did not go well. And so I realized, hey, I want to be in multifamily. I know I want to be in commercial real estate because that's where the real wealthy play. But I don't want to do it that way. So that's when we decided to get into the value add space. And my goal, overall, Chris, was to stop swinging for the fences, stop trying to hit home runs, and start hitting singles and doubles.
Amen to that. Yeah. That's kind of the same thing I learned too. Like I always tell people the ambition of my 20s caught up to me in my 30s,
That's great.
That's great. And so now it kind of leads to the question I had mentioned earlier, which is like, how do you see the super wealthy attaining wealth?
You know, a lot of the super wealthy now are attaining wealth through the tech, tech related businesses. And if you look at the Forbes 400, that's the number one now. Real estate's dropped a second, but a whole lot. And I think it's, I don't know if it's 90%, but it's a whole lot of the people on that list and other super wealthy folks have real estate, and they use real estate to maintain and perpetuate their wealth. And the super wealthy get into opportunities that most of the rest of us have never even heard of or have the opportunity to get into. Things like commercial, in the old days, it would have been investing in a mall. And now it might be a hotel or large-scale multifamily or large-scale storage units. Well, the average investor is not getting access to this, and the super wealthy are real happy about that because they are. And there are tremendous barriers to entry to keep somebody who's flipping one or two or three houses at a time, to keep them out of getting to that really big level of, 100 unit apartment. I mean, there you have to convince the seller, the broker, the lender, investors, so many people that you're credible. And, like the old advertisement said, how do I get credible if I don't have any experience? And so it's really hard. And the super wealthy are keeping it that way. I don't think it's intentional, certainly, but it's a great benefit of having access to large capital. You can get access to deals that have tremendous returns and are very safe and stable overall.
Yeah, I definitely agree. There's so much opportunity. And it's funny when you mention it, because a lot of people they don't know they exist or don't even believe that those kind of opportunities exist. That's the number one reason why the wealthy keep getting wealthier. It's not because I'll run into people all the time. Like, people have a couple million just sitting in, 401ks or IRAs and things like that. And they'll say like, yeah, I don't believe, I don't trust the stock market, but is there really anything that can be better? And I laugh because I'm thinking the stock market is a joke. Like, really, it's not that impressive at all compared to what's out there right now.
Yeah, it's really true. And I completely agree. And that's exactly how I see it. I haven't had money in stocks in a long time, except that swing for the fence that I still get the little statement on that says zero, but I guess it's still registered as a stockholder. I don't know.
Oh, that's great. You know, you get 0% of zero. That's awesome.
Yeah, right. That's zero. Right. It's beautiful.
That's great. Well, I mean, so how would people get access to things like this? I mean, because obviously, I mean, I have different resources, but what do you recommend to people if they want to get access to the things that the wealthy have access to? Say they're, whether they're accredited investors or maybe they're not.
Well, one way, especially for folks who are not accredited, is to get involved with crowdfunding. And, you know, I was a little skeptical about this. My book, which is called The Perfect Investment, and it's about multifamily. I was kind of a little down on crowdfunding, but I'm a little warmed up to it now. And mm-hmm. I think that that is one way to do it. Another way is to become a fractional owner of the property you're investing in by investing directly, you know, in a syndication. And of course, a syndication is when a sponsor pulls together a lot of individual investors and goes in together and they operate the deal that way.
Right. For those of you that aren't familiar with that, it's like a small version of a mutual fund, like a very much more private version of that, you know, where you're going in with different partners, right?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, and by the way, do you have resources for yourself that you refer people to for that?
For syndication, you know, right now it's a really hard time to find any deals because it's so overheated as we record mm-hmm. this in the summer of 2018. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, my company does that. There are a lot of great companies that are syndicators, and you can find someone, I mean, you know, with some really careful research on Bigger Pockets and other locations. But I mean, we like others. There are several with podcasts that have great syndication opportunities. Jake and Gino, Reed Goossens, others, my company. Then there's self-storage deals that we really are starting to learn more about and really starting to like.
Right.
So, and then as far as crowdfunding, they're all over the place. I couldn't recommend one specifically because I've heard good and bad about several, but I mean, you know, Realty Mogul, Realty Shares, Fundrise, things like that. They, you know, they're apparently pretty popular with people.
And even if you're not accredited, if you have, you're just starting out, that's someplace you can definitely go to.
That's true. But within those portals, there are, you know, accredited and non-accredited deals.
Right. Exactly. Cool. So let's get into the next segment of the show. I want to hear about how you specifically talk about partnering with the IRS, because most of us are not humongous fans of the IRS. My wife spent an hour on waiting on hold for the IRS for something that was useless. And so that was just yesterday, uh-huh. You know, so how can we actually use this to our advantage versus our disadvantage?
Yeah, well, I actually was audited by the IRS and it was completely random in 2001 or two. And it was actually a year when I had flipped a whole bunch of houses. And so I had tons of money moving in and out, and it took 6 months. It was only like 3-hour meetings at a time once a month. But at any rate, it was a hassle, and they found, I hate to say it, $152 that they thought I maybe misclassified. So, but wow.
That was all worth the 6 months of pain and torture, wasn't it?
I know. And I paid my CPA thousands of dollars to help me with that audit. And, you know, I didn't really complain. I mean, I'm glad to be in a country where I have all these benefits. I really sincerely. And so it was a pain, but I'm glad to get away from it. But now partnering with the IRS is what's, you know, is my wink of how commercial real estate investors get these incredible in taxes. He was talking about commercial real estate investors. If they knew how little we pay in taxes, there'd be another tax revolt. And I said, well, wow, tell me more. And he went on to tell me how he could take, how much was it? I think it was $20 million. And if the investor was patient and willing to let that ride with him for 20 years, which most wouldn't, it would throw off $131 million in free cash flow and build a portfolio of $210 million. And then he proved it with math. And that was cool. But then he said, here's the amazing part. This investor may pay virtually no tax during that time, maybe a few hundred thousand dollars. And I was really pretty blown away by that. So I wanted to learn more, and I did a deep dive on this. This is back when I was researching this a number of years ago. And so there are amazing tax benefits for commercial real estate investors, second only to my knowledge of drilling an oil well that's dry. Well, that, you know, not that you want to do that, but been there. So one would be direct investment. You know, when you directly invest in stocks or bonds or a REIT, you're owning shares in a corporation. But if you're investing with the right syndicator or sponsor or directly in your own commercial real estate investment, you're part of an LLC that owns that entity, and you get all the benefits of, you know, the tax savings that that commercial real estate gets. A second way to do it is a way I recommend that everybody does this is hire a tax strategist, by the way. That's a kind of a side note. And I've written on that on Bigger Pockets, and I've gotten hundreds of responses, people asking me more about what does it mean to hire a tax strategist. Maybe we'll come back on another show and chat about that if you like. Yeah. Return of capital is another one. I'm not saying you can do this willy-nilly, but it's possible that a lot of the return, like let's say a refi, if a commercial property is refinanced or the capital is just returned, there's no tax on that, right? There's no tax on a refinance on your own home. There's no tax on commercial real estate when your money is handed back to you. Yet you can take that money and reinvest it. It's awesome. Another opportunity is accelerated depreciation through cost segregation.
Right.
So a cost segregation study, of course, allows you to accelerate some of the tax savings. Actually, it's the depreciation that's accelerated instead of a 27 or whatever year life, it might be put on a 5-year life. And that's legit because appliances and countertops and things like that get worn out.
Right.
And so it's a great strategy that a lot of people don't know about. And that's something I've written about as well and got a lot of feedback.
Dentists and chiropractors, people have owned buildings, have done cost segregation just for themselves on their commercial building. Save tens of thousands of dollars a year in taxes just by doing that.
Oh, yeah. It's amazing. And, you know, the cost segregation people say that for about $5,000 or $6,000 study, they can do this on a $100,000 commercial building and break even. Anything above $100,000 building, they claim, is gravy. So even if you have a small building, it's something to consider.
Now, to clarify, just for people that are listening to this, because, you know, commercial building or commercial real estate in this case, what do you define as commercial real estate? Like how many units, for example, or what kind of property?
Well, I mean, it could be a single family home, according to the cost segregation people. Now, that seems kind of odd to me, but, you know, a duplex, a fourplex for apartments, or it could be a small, very small office building.
Right.
So, yeah. So I got a few more if you have time.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. And by the way, my time is freed up a little, so I don't know about you, but deferred taxes at the sale of your property through a 1031 exchange. It needs very little clarification. Lots of people know about that. What a lot of people don't know is you can roll into a 1031 exchange and you can actually do that in a Delaware statutory trust. Now, again, there's a lot of stuff involved in that, but that allows a lot more freedom in the 1031 exchange. Of course, we all know you can do a self-directed IRA and not be beholden to your employer's 401k options.
Right.
Passive loss limitations can sometimes be avoided if you're a real estate professional, and that's what a lot of people are doing. And then some new things that at the time of this recording, the tax reform law from December of 2017 offers high net worth individuals a chance for a 20% deduction on income from pass-through business entities. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Taxpayers
can also factor in 2.5% of the original purchase price as part of their 20% deduction. Section 179 of the tax code a long time has allowed deductions for capital improvements, but the new law expands this dramatically, which allows significant paper losses for some capital improvements, like putting a new roof on or an HVAC system, heating and air system, can be fully deducted in the year it's done in some cases. And one last comment, by the way, on the 1031 exchange, it was eliminated for things like airplanes and trucks and things like that, from what I understand, but it was kept for real estate. So another benefit to the wealthy and to other commercial real estate investors.
Awesome. Yeah, that's the thing that I love is that, you know, it's so much different going from the place of active income, you know, which is usually what you create through your own income streams, whether it be through a job or through your business or whatever it might be. But when you start to move into that investor profile, it's amazing the kind of ways you can reduce taxes. Obviously, you can, you know, make money or even lose money in an oil well, you know, but it's nice to know that you can actually create something from expenses and costs that you're going to be doing it, paying for anyways, or even costs that you don't pay for, just like with cost segregation and those kind of things. You're getting right. deductions off stuff that you're not even necessarily paying for.
Absolutely. It's a beautiful thing, huh?
Sure is. Explain a little bit more about what you do.
Yeah. So I am a real estate syndicator, which means we are looking actively for large, large multifamily properties in select cities. And like I said, we're very conservative, not swinging for the fences. We're doing fairly safe, you know, class B, which means, you know, maybe a 30-year-old property, for example, that might be a little tired and needs some improvement, but in a great area. And so we're looking to buy apartments and we're allowing investors to partner with us in that so we can all, you know, make some money together. And then we're also investing in self-storage. And I'm writing a lot on Bigger Pockets these days about the fact that the multifamily housing market right now is overheated. And so it's we're turning to self-storage because we have hundreds of investors who love and trust us, but we have nothing to show them to invest in, typically. I mean, we only did one deal last year, and that was 7 months ago in December, and we haven't done any this year. So we're starting to partner with some great operators to invest in, self-storage.
Yeah, I've noticed that same thing. I've noticed a lot of people, I mean, like apartment deals, for example, have been very, very competitive in the sense that it's just harder and harder to find deals. But there's other alternative investments such as self-storage and things popping up here and there. I've even recently talked to somebody about assisted living type stuff. So there's lots of different alternatives popping up, but you have to be much more selective these days.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like I said, we just don't want to knowingly overpay. I did that years ago and don't want to do it again. I mean, it's not that I knowingly overpaid, but I think it was more out of ignorance, but I know better now. And my partners are all in our 50s and we've all made and lost money and don't want to lose anymore.
That's right. I'm right there with you. And so if people want to get a hold of you or reach out or they'll find out more about you, what would you recommend? How would they do that?
They could visit our website, which is wellingscapital.com. That's W-E-L-L-I-N-G-S, capital.com. They can check out How to Lose Money on iTunes or Stitcher, or they can actually check me out on Bigger Pockets, where, like you said, I'm blogging there quite frequently.
Excellent. Yeah, and I'll actually have that in the show notes too, so they have a link to get to you one way or the other. So
fantastic.
Well, Paul, thank you so much for your time today. It's been awesome, very informative, power-packed episode today. So I really appreciate your time and your expertise.
Chris, thank you for having me on the show. I'm truly honored and would love to have you on our show if you would like to contribute to the How to Lose Money world.
I would love that. I've lost plenty of it. So.
All right.
All right. Thanks so much, Paul. We'll talk to you later.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to The Chris Miles Money Show. Don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes and make us a part of your daily routine. And check out our blogs and learn more about Chris, his services, and how we can help you at moneyripples.com. Join us next time on the Chris Miles Money Show.